By the Yahweh. The Shepherd's Call is on the air, coming to you live from the Heritage Broadcasting System. Now your Stone Shepherd host, Pastor Buddy Johnson.
Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and this is the Shepherd's Call, and we're glad to have you aboard tonight. Brother Eric and I are here in the studios here at the Herb Shop, and we're ready to go. Praise Yahweh. And Brother Eric's just fresh out of Mississippi, been down to the flag rally that they had on the 14th of April there in Jackson, Mississippi. Had a great turnout, made national news headlines that the southern people of the South still love the great flag that our fathers and our ancestors designed to the crossed hands of Jacob, and of course they fought under it in the Civil War. And it's the last stronghold. The state of Mississippi is the last state that flies the flag above the Capitol. And we are very concerned about the flag of Jacob Israel, and we appreciate all those that turned out. Brother Eric, can you give us a little update on how the rally went down there in Jackson, Mississippi?
Well, Pastor Buddy, we had an excellent time. Everybody that turned out was very positive and very supportive of all the efforts of the Free Mississippi Organization and the League of the South. We had representations of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, the United Daughters of the Confederacy, and other Southern-oriented organizations that would like to see a rebirth of the South and a different republic form of government. Of course, everybody that was there wanted to see the flag continue, and again, by my indications in driving through the state of Mississippi, I saw quite a bit of local support with yard signs and people displaying the flag on their front bumper as a license plate, and people just flying flags out their windows. I mean, it was a wonderful experience. It made me feel very good about the vote on Tuesday. Everybody that turned out got completely grounded by showers to start off the flag rally, and so between the 200 to 300 people that I saw at the rally, no one left because of the weather. They just waited it out, and they listened to the speakers and the singers and so on, and everybody just had an excellent time, and I feel like it was a very good, significant step forward for everyone that is proud of their heritage and the flag itself.
Well, we're delighted that you were able to go down and represent our Confederate chapter here in Tennessee along with our Southern brothers and many others that attended the rally in Jackson, Mississippi. Folks, our heritage is under assault by the enemy, and our enemy is that unseen enemy that sits in high places, and the directives that they are given today is to resist our will to resist, and their agenda is divide and conquer. And of course we're talking about an international conspiracy among the international bankers that formulated a plan of attack upon America in 1913 when they passed the Federal Reserve Act to take away our gold standards and put this nation at war with usury. So it's been a struggle. We've been enslaved by the enemy, by the international bankers, and now we're slaves. And the system that they have devised, very ingenious, of how that they have figured out a system to create money out of thin air. And this system is the system that is taking America and will ultimately, finally destroy her if, and this is an if, we don't return to the altars of Yahweh. And that's our message tonight. We're going to get into the message of how to pray, when to pray, and where to pray at. It's very needful to know these things. And we know that these things work, Brother Eric, because we have seen results. And we're going to pass these results along to you. And the name of our message tonight, we've done two series on the coming judgment of America. And we were willing to do the third in a series. And tonight we are changing direction slightly, but our theme will be the same. We're talking about problems, but in we want to interject tonight a solution to that problem. Now, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we quote this scripture quite often. In all my years of ministry, in 40 years, I've quoted it perhaps thousands of times, and it's in 2 Chronicles. And it goes like this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So then, the problems that we have here are problems that we deserve. We've gone to sleep with this giant locomotive as a nation, and we're going down the tracks at breakneck speed, and we see the wall coming into view or the bridge out at the bottom of the canyon. And so we know that this train of America is going to wreck, and we are trying to find solutions to the problem or the dilemma and engineer a solution. And this is the solution tonight. As we go to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we find that there are 66 words here if you count in from the 9th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew down to the 13th, there are 66 words contained in the King James Version here. It may change in others, but we find that there are 66 words here. The center of this is, lead us not into temptation. And we do believe, as a people of Jacob Israel, that we have been led into temptation by international jewelry. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, we find this interesting scripture written within. Also, you will find it in Revelation chapter 3, and verse 9, a stern warning not to be led into temptation. Some of our founding fathers warned us in our revolutionary beginning not to permit these so-called Jews. Now, the Bible says here in Revelation, I know that you have tried them that say they are Jews, but are not. And the temptation, these international bankers, the Rothschilds in Europe, became famous as he set up a banking system to hold the valuables of others by creating a bank to store valuables in. Well, when people accumulated or began to accumulate values or things of value, they brought them to Rothschild, and he kept these valuable possessions of these that trusted him. And here we have fell into temptation. We are not to trust these so-called Khazaric Jews. And now our father's sons who fell into temptation, as they gradually begin to gather their things, their money, their silver, their gold, their diamonds, their precious things that they held dear and valuable, and they begin to entrust them to thieves. It's just like Brother Eric, we invited the fox into the hen house. And of course, that is a disastrous result. Thy kingdom come, he said. Thy will be done. And the father's will was not to trust international jewelry, because that we would be given over to the temptation. And what they have done, they have systematically destroyed the moral standards of America. If you look on our media scene today, and what is being our children are being exposed to, it is a steady diet of jewelry. Now, these Jews are masquerading as entertainers. And we could give you a long list of entertainers that is on our media exposed networks, where that our children watch an average of 6 to 10 hours of this every day. And we are getting subliminally indoctrinated with their filth. The federal courts have intervened into our private affairs of states and forced busing, integration of the races, and we have become to temptation. Here in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, we see the result. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And yet today, the great name of Yahweh, it is mentioned 6,823 times in the old parchment alone. And yet today, when we address our Father's name, we call him God, Lord, or other titles subscribed through word changes. Now listen, the Bible says that the time will come that men will not endure sound doctrine. So then they have expertly taken the name of our Father out of the text and inserted blasphemous titles to address our Heavenly Father. It shouldn't be, but it is. So we have been led into temptation. And it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, our debtors are not forgiven us. Now that the bankruptcy laws have been tightened down for the loopholes that a lot of poor people used to escape the burden of usury, now then we are more susceptible than ever to usury and to have to pay the debts incurred. And I'll give you a simple problem here with a $2,000 debt. Let's say, for instance, that you have $2,000 of debt incurred at Sears Roebuck, which is a Jewish national chain, and you're using your American Express card or your Sears card. You can use either one, the Master's card or the Visa. All these are controlled by international jewelry bankers, and they charge you an astounding sum, if you will. They say that the interest rate is at 8 to 9 to 10%, and yet when you use your credit card, the interest rate will jump to 21 to 27, and some as much as 32% of usury added on to the debt. Now, if you incur a $2,000 debt and you pay the minimum payment, you see the enticement, lead us not into temptation, here it says, and to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Well, that's not the way the game is played here in the world of money today. With the international jewelry at the controls of the money lending institutions of the world, they have no mercy. Now that you are hauled into court and you are charged with defrauding the international bankers, and the penalties are very severe. First of all, they will confiscate your real property if you have any. And then they systematically begin to destroy your possessions or take possession of your possessions, and then they systematically destroy your ability to gain any more credit. So the penalties are severe. Lead us not into temptation. 66 words approaching the beast power of 666. Six is a number of man. And in this prayer, you got to be very careful to understand that his will has to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sorry to announce tonight that we are not in the will of the Heavenly Father. We have been denied access to truth. Our Bibles have been changed, altered. Texts have been replaced. This is systematically a destruction of truth. Listen to me. Truth is cheap at any price. Freedom is still cheap at bloodletting. And it's coming to the point in America that there is going to be, we're already riding in Cincinnati. Well, that's nothing new. We did that back in Watts. Remember that? When they systematically burn down our cities and call it legal stealing or breaking out the windows, all this is filmed and carried across the world, and it shows America in a bad light. And it's called race rage. We have road rage, and now we have race rage. But you see, only the blacks and the Hispanics and the minorities are to be legally allowed to have race rage. If you're white, you are not politically correct in having race rage. You cannot say anything against any other race if you're white. Well, if you're black, you can speak about any race and get away with it. Or if you're Hispanic, you can demand your rights as a minority, and the federal government will ensure that right. Well, who is systematically bringing in these foreigners to our country? Is it the white race that needs these to work in their restaurants and to do their minimal work in the work field to pick their cotton, as we were told that we brought the blacks in for that reason? Or did we really look for the real reason that the blacks came from Africa into our country? Why did they come? Who brought them? Was there a market for them? You need to get the facts, and the facts is that it was the international Jew traders that brought in the black race. And now here is the Jews sitting in these skyscrapers in the money capitals of the United States of America, New York, Madison Avenue, and in San Francisco, and the gay city of the world, led by international and promoted by international jewelry, all of your actors, all of your sitcoms that is promoting homosexual activities in America are controlled and are simulated by the Jews. And if you will look at the actors and really get their names, you will see that most of these actors that are homosexual and having homosexual liaisons on your sitcoms are all Jews. Why? Because they fit the agenda, because that's what they are. They are a race, a godless race of people that has no God but Satan. That is their God. And Satan, the father of international Canaanite. And if you will go to Genesis chapter 3, we are teaching here tonight that Cain was of Satan. Yes, he enticed our mother Eve to commit fornication on our father Adam. And therefore, we got a discrepant seed into the earth. Well, you say, that's no problem. We can eradicate it. We'll call Orkin. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it takes more than Orkin to exterminate a Canaanite Jew. Why? Because he hides well. He's known as a serpent. He's very subtle. He hides in places that you wouldn't expect him to be. And he's found his way into and through the gates of liberty in America. He has come against the warnings of our forefathers who said, we could quote one of our famous founders, and he said, the day that you let the Jew into America, then you've got, in 200 years, you've got a nation that has been led into temptation. And here we are. Lead us not into temptation. But you see, they brought their craft. They brought their arts. And above all, they brought their money. And money talks. And the white man listens. When there's money, greed. And so what they done, they dangled the carrot out in the stick, and then we ran for the gold. Well, instead of getting the gold, we got a handful of paper money, and they got the gold. We can't trust them, ladies and gentlemen, because the Bible says that we are not to trust them. So here we are in a dilemma, and this is the judgment and the impending judgment upon America. We're coming down to the wire of reality. We're going to have to face the consequences. Because the Bible says we shall reap what we have sown. We've sown to the international banking cartel, and we have reaped a whirlwind. And now the truth is evident. We must return to the old path. We must repent. We must pray. We must seek our Heavenly Father. And we are in a dilemma. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we are in a discussion here with the plot, we think, to destroy our heritage here in America. We're very concerned about it, and we hope that you are. But you see, it takes nerve. It takes a lot of nerve to speak out in this last day against an international conspiracy. And through our studies, we do believe that there is an international plot to create a one-world government and for this one-world government to take over. And we find that America is the last stronghold of resistance. And that resistance is good old farm boys like you're listening to tonight. Praise Yahweh. And a good old Texas boy like Eric. And we know that there are, and they know, that there are millions of us that they have to contend with. And we're speaking out. We're paying our own hard-earned money. And we're speaking out in the last day against this international conspiracy. Listen to what, you see, this war didn't start just yesterday. This has been going for quite some time. Listen to what a famous personality back at the time that he was in the U.S. Congress, Charles Lindbergh, He said in 1913, regarding the Federal Reserve Act, this act establishes the most gigantic trust monopoly on earth. And when the president, that was Wilson now, when he signs this act, the invisible government by the money power proven to exist by the money trust investigation will be legalized. The new law will create inflation whenever the trustees want inflation. Now, who are the trustees he's talking about here? Well, in 1913, they created the trustees. These were the international bankers that moved behind the scenes to supply money to the United States government. You see, we had all of our gold confiscated and taken up by this international cartel. And in place of the gold and the value of our metals, we went from Yahweh's standard. We were led into temptation. And they led us down the primrose path away from a gold standard to an inflationary paper standard. And we know that inflation of paper, how in World War II that they would take a basket of paper money in Germany just to buy an Irish potato. And you see, they control this, and here is a senator, Charles Lindbergh, says, from now on, depression will be scientifically created. The worst legislative crime of the ages is perpetrated by passing this Federal Reserve Act and currency deal. Ignoring warnings from patriotic men in 1913, Mr. Woodrow Wilson approved the Federal Reserve Act, concentrating and giving control of America's money and wealth into the hands of a small group of trustees. You see, in 1933, our president, world famous, what was his name? No, we're talking about Roosevelt. Roosevelt. This is 1933, Eric.
33.
Yeah. We're in 33 now, and Mr. Roosevelt, he passed a law to take up all the gold and to give us a socialism. Well, isn't that a mild form of communism? And so we are very, very slowly emerging into a socialist state of communism, whether we like it or not. And we're dependent now upon the federal government for state support. And if the state doesn't play the game of the federal jurisdiction of Washington, D.C., then they are tantalized by taking away federal grant money. And so the political groups, the small counties and the townships across America have been bought off slowly and systematically. And a political system of the people, by the people, and for the people has been destroyed and is now controlled by a small group who dominate this corporation. A decade later, Mr. Wilson opined and said in a pining way, "I am a most unhappy man." Quote, "I have unwittingly ruined my country." Now, folks, this is President Wilson. After he signed the Federal Reserve Act, came on publicly and said, "I have unwittingly." He's been led into temptation. Evidently, somebody paid him a handsome price to sell out the country. And that's exactly what he done. And here he is crying in his misery. "I have unwittingly ruined my country. A great industrial nation is now controlled by a system of credit." And, of course, what he meant was credit is a cover word for usury. And there, ladies and gentlemen, put us into a dilemma. We need to fall back upon our knees and pray and seek the face of Yahweh. This is a system that is going to be a sore or a cancer that is eating away the heart of America. hardworking folks that go to work every day have to struggle just to pay the interest. And I was telling you about the $2,000 debt, just paying the minimum payment, it takes you 14 years without charging any other credit to your bills. After you get a $2,000 credit with a credit card by paying the minimum payment, listen, it will take you 14 years to pay a $2,000 credit with no more debt incurred. And ladies and gentlemen, therein lays the problem. Now you expand that out to the millions and the billions of dollars and the trillions of dollars, and they have artificially created a debt and charged us with and saddled us with a debt of trillions of dollars that we don't owe. It's all on paper. And yet our gold and our silver and our precious metals and our standard of biblical principles, which was the standard of gold and silver, has been taken away. And the Bible says, lead us not into temptation. Somebody is asleep. We have lost track of praying and going to the altar. Our altar is set in the front of a TV or a movie show where that we spend literally billions of dollars to be entertained by these idiots. And no wonder I call them idiot boxes, because these idiot boxes have ruined America. We bow to the altar of television, and we're entertained. Our ears are tickled, and we're conditioned by, now when we want to go to Sunday school, we turn on the television, and there is the old preachers. Oh, they're so crafty. They're so humble. And yet they're teaching us in the electronic evangelism. And they soothe away our fears. And they turn our attention away from our troubles. And we are being entertained into hell, where we are eating and drinking as they were in the days of Noah. We are the greatest country in the world that is soon to fall if we can't get a handle on our finances. What do we have to do? We have to return to Yahweh. And by returning to Yahweh, in my opinion, that is we go back to the altar and we humble ourselves down and we pray and seek His face. And He said, I will heal your land. Eric, we're in a dilemma here tonight. Would you agree?
Oh, I'd agree. I think that we're on the verge of the end times, and they're definitely upon us. I believe that we need to seek what Yahweh meant in the scriptures, to pray and seek His face and keep His Sabbaths and His appointed times. Appointed times is a key word in this study that we're going into tonight, and to keep His feast days.
Exactly right. Listen. You were mentioning the feast days and the things that we've got to return to, and we're going to get into very shortly. We're going to get into that part of how to get on the altar and how to make a covenant with our Father. And we're talking about solutions. Let's give them a little bit more of the problem here, just to bring you up to speed with what's happening in the dumbing down of America. The average television program is geared for a 12-year-old mind, and yet we have an average of 66% of the listening audience is above 21. So you can see that those that are 21 years or older, and some even my age at 65, sit night after night laughing at the jokes by these silly idiots that's on this idiot box trying to entertain our flesh, when we should be praying and fasting and seeking our Heavenly Father. Those behind this push for one world government have used the public schools to indoctrinate our children in anti-Christian ideals and anti-American ideologies. The public schools have been primary a weapon in the war to destroy our children's future. Now, I want to ask you, what future does our children have with the incurring of interest penalties upon a $2,000 debt? And think about this to a home. Homes are now financed at 30-year mortgages. And we are spending more and more money for fuel. Now the price of gasoline. You see, we're murmuring and complaining in America because now our gas is $1.68. But, Eric, in Europe, where the Jews begin to systematically destroy Europe and went through there, you can see that they control the price of petrol. And the price of petrol in those areas, let's say for England and Germany, is $3 to $4 a gallon. What's going to happen there is what's happening here. Now we are going to have to pay for the fuels that we burn. And we have been denied technology by the dumbing down of America. We have been denied the advanced technology that would do away with the oil barons who is controlled by international jewelry again. And we have technology already on the board that would free us from the enslavement of fossil fuels, burning up oils and this, but it would not serve their purpose, which is to rob us of all of our wealth and gather it up. But you know what, Eric, the Bible says that they will gather the wealth of the world and they will cast it into the streets in the day of Yahweh's vengeance. You see, they forget that Yahweh has appointed a day which he will judge the world and that his judgment will be quick and severe and he will have no mercy. So then, by the dumbing down of America, by taking our children and destroying their minds, by first taking prayer out of the school, by the federal laws that church and state should be separate, and very, very crafty, they have taken away our right to Christian heritage, that if we worship our God in the church, we should also worship him in the schools. Because if we learn anything any different than to serve a creator and to bow before him and to acknowledge him in all of our ways, then for that they have brought division. And by bringing division, they have brought defeat to the heart of America. And we are in a war in America. Our schools, presently our schools, are interested in teaching our children about condoms. They're more interested in teaching them about condoms than mathematics. We've got children that know at age 6 to 7 years old what a condom is for, but they can't multiply 2 plus 2. Why? Because we are in a system that has taken our Constitution and made a mockery out of it when it says, in God we trust. And yet that is not allowed in our public schools. Well, we're paying for our sins. And the Bible says, lead us not into temptation. And this is the prayer that we pray. Now, let's talk about, Eric, let's get in a little bit about the solution. You know a little bit about the salt covenant and how it works and what altars are for and why that we appear on these altars and what we're trying to teach our brothers and sisters across America, that we need to return to the old path. And by returning to the old path, we need scriptural instruction on how to pray. Now, if we go to Genesis chapter 8, and we start at the 20th verse, when the first world perished, we find here that Noah was landing in his ark, and the first thing that he did when he landed was he built an altar. And our father Noah, our father Abraham, our father Isaac, and our father Jacob, and all of our forefathers built altars when they were in trouble. We are given instructions, and you can write for our instructions on how to build an altar. Brother Eric has these colored charts that he would be glad to send you for a nominal fee. that would tell you how to build an altar and to conduct a service upon it that will get the attention of your Heavenly Father. And you say, well, why an altar? Why not go to a local church? We'll tell you why later about these bell boxes that have been instituted, and we are now using these bell boxes to be deceived in. The Father wants you to ask aright. Let's go to James chapter 4 and verse 3. You ask, but you ask amiss. You ask to consume it upon your lust. Most people pray, they want rewards for prayers only to consume it on their lust. They don't want to ask to be servants. We must ask to be servants. We must serve in the cause of Yahweh. We must give up the pursuit of the wealth of the enticement of international jewelry. We must quit running for the paper federal notes. And we should not seek after those things which the Gentiles seek after, the Bible said, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. For when you pray, pray like unto this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we're going to Psalms chapter 25, and we're going to read verse 14. The secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Have you ever made a covenant with Yahweh? Well, you said, I thought that was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's job. I didn't know I was supposed to covenant with him. Well, if your sons of those that covenanted with him, and you are new sons, and they're no longer upon the earth, then you must return. When you return, you've got to return in covenant. Yahweh is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. So if you return to the old path, you return to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They made covenant pacts with Yahweh. And if you have gone astray, then you must come back to the old path and make a new covenant. When he said to come out of her, my people, he was talking about coming out of Babylon, coming out of confusion, come out of international jewelry, come out of her, because you see, they're anti-Christ. They do not believe in the Savior that we advocate. They hate him. They despise him. In their Talmud, which it means in their teachings, they despise him. They speak evil of him. And yet they are accepted in most of the bell boxes as God's chosen people. And the Bible strictly tells you that they are children of Satan. And that's the deception. So the secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, let's go to Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. The salt of the covenant of Yahweh, with all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Well, let me ask you a question. When you offer your prayers, do you offer them with salt? You say, well, my heavens, no, that's witchcraft. You see, the day will come that they will call evil good and good evil. And yet here, the Father tells us that every offering, now we're talking about prayers also here, they must be offered with salt. So then the first order of business is that you learn the dimensions of the altar, and you learn the ingredients to bring to the altar. For with offerings, all offerings shall be offered with salt. Leviticus 2:13. Now, let's turn real quick to 2 Chronicles chapter 13, and we're going to verse 5. You should know that Yahweh gives the kingdom to David by a covenant of salt, and to his sons forever by a covenant of salt. You should know. Do you know that Yahweh gave the kingdom to David by a covenant of salt? Now, how did Yahweh give the kingdom to David by a covenant of salt? Well, therein lies the mysteries of our salt covenant. We teach that Yahweh gave us covenant. And to return to his covenant, you've got to return his way. You ask, but you ask amiss. You ask to consume it upon your selfish reasons for existing upon the planet. If you will take it to Yahweh's dimension of understanding, you should not seek to serve yourself, but to serve him, because you are a servant to his cause. If you seek to serve yourself or to consume it upon your own lust, then you will be in bondage to that which you are possessed of. But if you will make yourself a servant to his cause, then for his cause you shall serve. Praise Yahweh.